I suck at jujitsu.
We interrupt our program to bring you this important message.
I guess you suck less.
The high level leader of the Canucks won it.
Hey everybody, this is Josh McKinney, and I just want to welcome you to the newest episode of the I Suck at Jiu-Jitsu Show. So today, this is one that has been highly anticipated on the show. I've been pushing that Jared Weiner is going to come back on the show. We actually re-released his old interview that we found some video footage of, but this time, we got him back on the show and in person. And this is the first ever episode of the I Suck at Jiu-Jitsu Show that I just really, really highly recommend you guys watch on video. Because on Spotify and on YouTube, we're going to go over some match breakdowns throughout this episode. It's still fine if you listen to it audio only. I think you would still understand what's happening. Getting to see us look at this footage, literally his first black belt tournament, all the way up to some really big competition runs he had in 2015 and 16. We really get to look back on these 20 years as a black belt that Jared has had, and kind of what he's learned from jiu-jitsu and where he's at with jiu-jitsu right now. And so this episode to me is going to be an all-time favorite. Just the way it's set up and the conversation is just so good. I always enjoy getting to learn from Jared. There's always something that he's thinking about or talking about that I find helpful and usually get a lot of help from. And so that is what we have for you guys today. And then we just want to, all of us at the I Suck at Jiu-Jitsu Show, just want to congratulate Jared Weiner on being a black belt for 20 years. That's such an awesome accomplishment. And myself and all of us who work for the show, work with the show, we're really honored to get to do that interview for the 20-year celebration at Black Belt. Let's go ahead and get into today's interview. Jared, how are you doing, man?
Good. How are you?
I'm good. It feels like it's been forever.
It has, but it hasn't.
It hasn't been that long, you know? But it's good to see you, man.
Yeah, you too. Great to see you.
You know, we had this, you had texted me this thought of like, hey, let's do a 20-year at Black Belt interview,
nice.
Which to me is like, holy cow. People are surprised when I tell them, oh, I've been training for 15, 16 years.
Right.
And then like, yeah, this guy's been a black belt longer than that.
Yeah, man. Time flies. You know,
yeah.
I mean, it's been a long time. I mean, I started, when did I start? 95. I got black belt in 2003. So yeah, this is 20 years. So it's like my adult life, you know what I mean? Like training jiu-jitsu and, you know, black belt. Think about it, 20 years. I mean, 24 years old, maybe 20 something. Yeah, man, like it's crazy. 25.
At this point, what is jiu-jitsu to you? Like what how you view jiu-jitsu?
To me now, like I stepped back from competing a little bit over the last like year or so, kind of since COVID actually. I did a few matches like when the pandemic thing was still going on or whatever. But it just, the vibe, the feel wasn't the same for me at the time, you know. I kind of stepped back, focused on just kind of running the team and stuff like that. And you know, guiding the team, guiding my crew, you know, guiding everybody. I'm still training a bunch, you know, but more on just a casual level right now. But once I get on the mat and start hitting it, it turns into the same thing over and over and over again. But so jiu-jitsu, you know, it's kind of guided my way of life, you know, like... But, you know, I really prioritized the last few years, you know, like put my family first instead of running around to all the different states and cities every weekend for competition and stuff like that. I realized I was lacking in some of my family priorities. Mm-hmm. So it's important. I have a young son. I have my 10-year-old daughter, my wife. They need me at home as well, you know, so... Jiu-jitsu is always going to be there. My family trains jiu-jitsu. Everybody trains jiu-jitsu, but like, it's not like that live or die thing for me at the moment. Because it's always going to be there, if that makes sense. Jiu-jitsu is not going anywhere for me. It's a part of me. You know, it's I'm not going to say it's defined me, but it's definitely like, it's kind of helped create the adult I've become today, if that makes sense to you.
Mm-hmm. I mean, would it even be possible for you to say where you might be or what you might be doing without jiu-jitsu?
Yeah. I mean, it is definitely possible because, and you know, I'm not going to pull any punches. I'm going to tell you how it is today, you know, because that's what I do. But when I got into jiu-jitsu, I was actively skateboarding. There could have been possibilities of being pro and getting paid eventually and this and that. I was sponsored, you know, I was doing skateboard competitions. I was in the magazines. I was in the videos, getting free decks, getting free gear and stuff like that. And I found jiu-jitsu and everybody knows the story in 95 when I was skating by Maxercise and I met my first teacher, Steve Maxwell. A lot of those dudes I was skating with back in the day are dead. You know what I mean? A lot of those guys, some of the guys are homeless living in California. Some of the guys died from drug overdoses. Some of the guys died from other things. Some of the guys never did anything with their lives. You know, they stayed partying in the streets and some made it very successful. You know what I mean? So, but the select few group, you know, who knows where they are today. And I could have easily gone down that path, you know? So I really think, you know, jiu-jitsu helped rein me in, you know, and gave me, I always had my dad as an adult mentor, my family, everything like that. But it gave me that another group of positive adult mentors, you know, that helped, you know, guide a nice path for me. Because without jiu-jitsu, maybe I would have seen the world at some time or another, but not like the way I've seen the world now. You know, I've been everywhere. And I can say because of jiu-jitsu, I've taught jiu-jitsu everywhere, trained jiu-jitsu everywhere, competed jiu-jitsu everywhere. So it's cultured me in a way, like seeing different cultures, different, you know, I've met so many people, made so many different friends, you know. Who knows where I'd be, but and growing up in Philly in the city, like maybe I wouldn't have ended up somewhere good. You know what I mean? So who knows? I can't, you know, maybe I would have ended up great, you know, but who knows?
Yeah, maybe jiu-jitsu was holding you back, you know? You never know.
You never know.
Man, I think about that, and it makes a lot of sense to me just kind of knowing you and knowing that backstory, because something I've always noted is how you look at helping the next guy, like the guy behind you, the guy on the team behind you, that you can help. And you, even the last time you were here, you and I had, and you might not even remember it, but we had a really good conversation on just the responsibility of that, of mentoring people. And it's something that over the last year, I really have been way more aware of and tried to pay way more attention to because of that conversation. But is that something that came to you or you started to focus on because you found it helped you, you know, as a young kid?
Yeah, I guess, you know, because at first when I first opened up my school, it was more of a, I was broke. I was looking to make a business, you know, and it was also selfish for me because I wanted training partners to compete. You know, I never realized it would turn into what it did. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? But once I started to realize there's like a business aspect to this thing, and actually you can kind of make a living if you're doing it right, whatever. And then you see these people like coming into your school, following your lead, you know, and they're like, holy shit, can I curse on here? Is
you
that okay?
Can say
okay,
whatever yeah. you want, bro.
I was like, holy shit, these people are actually like following me, you know? And it's like, it made me feel weird, you know? Cause I remember how much I looked up to Steve Maxwell, still do to this day, legendary man, you know? But as my first teacher and how, like, I thought the world of him and this and that, and, you know, and I guess, like, you know, you can't get along with everybody, you know what I mean? Personalities clash, people come and go from the schools, you know, you might have long relationships that fade over time, you know, is what it is. But I hope, like, you know, yeah, it was a natural progression, I guess. And then once I moved from my next location, I think that was 2007 from my original location, I realized, yo, I moved to a big space. And I was like, man, you got to, all these people were following, you know, and you start to develop a team and a reputation and this and that. And like, you got to, you know, it took a long time a long time for me to grow up and realize that I have a responsibility here. You know, I wouldn't say I was out there acting foolish or doing things, but like, yo, that tough guy route thing that like, you know, always hard, this or that. Yeah, that's how I grew up a little bit, but that's not like what people are looking for. They're looking for good advice. They're looking for mentorship. They're looking for, you know, opportunity, you know? And, but nowadays, like kind of, I've crossed that bridge from like jujitsu coach to like, I just want to mentor my kids. You know what I mean? Like we have so many different teachers and stuff out from our team now. I'm still here to give advice and help everybody and lead the team, of course. But like I said, my priority now is making sure my children get that same attention from me that I was giving to all my students at the time. And, you know, I can look back and I feel like I made some personal errors there. I would say like not neglecting my kids or anything like that, but like focusing all my energy on certain people, whoever, any students, whatever at the time, you know what I mean? Instead of like making sure I was there for my kid, you know, and I don't want to live like that. I don't want to live with that regret. So, I really have to learn how to combine everything together so I could sleep better at night as well to make sure my people are taken care of on all different aspects, you know? Does that make sense?
Yeah. How does that look? How does that look for you to learn that?
So it was really, it was a growing process for me, you know? And, you know, this is what stuck with me. And I wasn't going to bring this up, but this really stuck with me. I had a very good friend, Dave Jacobs. Remember The Rock?
Yeah.
And he passed away years back. Way too young. We were at his funeral and it was a tough funeral because, like I said, me and Rock, we were very good friends. He was actually probably my first friend from a different team. You know, we'd always compete against each other. He was on Yamazaki. I was Maxercise and this and that, whatever. And we became boys, man. We became friends. We beat each other up. I won some, he won some. Actually, I think he won more back in the day, believe it or not. Yeah. But I remember at his funeral, there were some things said, doesn't matter by who or what, you know what I mean? But, you know, when they were talking about him up on the podium, that, you know, there was regret from some family members because he wasn't there for them. And you know, he was out running around refereeing, doing jujitsu, doing tournaments every single weekend, day in and day out. And his kids and family were growing up. And he was like kind of MIA. That's what was said, you know, and that stuck with me to this day, to years. I remember taking that home with me that day, and I was like, man, I really got to turn some things around because life goes by really, really, really fast, and I want to make sure my kids get all of me, you know, because we're what they got, you know? So that really stuck with me. Rest in peace, Rock, you know, awesome dude. I miss Rock. We would talk all the time. But yeah, I wasn't going to talk about that, but we were kind of going down that path, so... yeah, I want to make sure I prioritize these days. Like I said, jiu-jitsu is going to be there. Our team's going to be there. Tag team's going to be there. All you guys are going to be there. But, you know, these kids, my family needs me. So that's where I'm at today.
Yeah, I totally understand that. And I think that, you know, kind of how we were just talking about, you feel this responsibility as a coach to just be always in with your students, going to every tournament, doing all these things. And, you know, even now where you're at with where TAC team is, I feel like the role for you is different. You know, like when all the best leaders that I know that do jujitsu have been on the podcast, and all those guys talk about you and your leadership.
Wow.
And it's like, for me, I go, okay, well, you know, like, and I feel that too. That's why when Kyle said, hey, I want to go under a new team, me and my dad were like, oh, and he goes, it's under Jared. And we're like, oh yeah, okay, let's do it.
So you went from, oh, to, yeah, let's do it like that.
That, you know, you had just come through over the weekend and we were just, we're like, oh yeah, and it was simply how you know, not to sound cheesy, how you lead men. You know, and it's just, and you know, just lead everybody.
Yeah,
and
lead everybody.
Of course, just lead, I would say lead strong people too. Okay. And I think that's really hard. And I just see how, you know, in you teaching, I could see it. And so it's really, you know, as I've gotten to have these conversations, we all see that. And I just think, you know, just think back to just different situations that we've had on the team and how you've handled them. Yeah. And it's like when you're needed, boom. And it just, I don't know, there's something about it. Do you think that that leadership is something that you have just, is just a natural ability that you've always had? Or do you think that's something you've developed over time?
I think it was just something that developed, maybe natural. I'm not sure, because it wasn't anything that was planned.
Yeah.
You know, it wasn't anything that was planned. I guess people like what they saw. They like the energy. They like the vibe, you know. I was always kind of no BS with people. You know, I if there was problems, I try to squash it immediately through conversation. Mm-hmm. I wasn't one out there like doing crazy things to try to get attention or this or that. I try to be respectful. And like I said, if there's issues with people, usually what it takes is a conversation, especially responsible adults. And then the issue's usually solved. And that's how I lead the team. I don't micromanage anybody. I don't stress over the little things anymore, because you guys are pretty much leading yourselves at this point. Think about it. I don't need to be there for every tournament. We have so many awesome leaders on the team all over the country at this point. You can go to any part of the country, including Guam and Japan, basically, and Saipan, and have a affiliate school or a friend there who's a black belt from our organization who could step up and lead you and coach you and help you. And that's, I believe that's, it's so important. So like at this point, like I could sit back and watch everybody do amazing. And if you need me, I'm here. You hit me up, I'm gonna hit you right back. Mm-hmm. And I'm gonna, you know, you got an issue, we talk about it. If you need some advice, we talk about it. You know, I see everybody a few times a year at this point, you know, trying to hang out, teach, laugh, you know, enjoy each other's company, help each other grow. But yeah, I don't know. Came naturally or just by accident. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. It could be the way I was raised. It could be my upbringing. It could be anything, you know?
Man, the first thing you said, a lot of leadership things that I listen to, one of the big things they talk about is having the tough conversations.
Yeah.
And that was the first thing that you said. And I've seen that. I've just seen that you are, you know, willing to do that and able to do that. Is that something that you have always been able to do?
Yeah, because even growing up and now, like, I hate leaving things, like, bad with people. You know what I mean? Even if it's left bad and there's a discussion and we can both mutually agree, like, yo, we're not cool like that anymore, but, hey, respect, be done with it. You know what I mean? But, like, I hate, like, leaving, you know, I like to resolve conflict, you know? I like to live in peace, in times of peace. You know, and that's having those tough conversations are important. Not afraid to look somebody in the eye and tell them how you feel, but do it respectfully. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? No threat of violence, no threat of anything like that. There's no need to intimidate, you know, just have that mutual respect for people. You know, maybe when I was younger, I was a little more confrontational and this and that. But as you grow, man, you don't want to be like that. I don't want to be like that. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? I like I said, it all comes back to I want to be a good role model for my children and my team. You know, and that's just how it is. You know, if we got to have that tough talk, we'll have it. If I got to tell you to go pound sand and take a walk, if you do something that I don't like or is going to affect our team negatively, you know, if you're doing some whatever, you know, we're going to have to talk about it. Mm-hmm. You know, and I'm not afraid to tell people to take a walk, you know. Mm-hmm.
Man, I've seen you just handle things that way. And yeah, I really appreciate that on the team. I really do. Let's kind of look to a little bit. We kind of had this thought of looking at some of your old matches. And I really loved the suggestion you sent me last night of like, oh, well, I have up on YouTube, I have my first ever black belt tournament.
Yeah.
And I'm like, yeah, let's do it.
So a little background on that, right? Uh-huh. So it was my first black belt tournament. My first black belt match was a super fight in Virginia Beach. My friend Gustavo Machado, who's an awesome, awesome human being. He's a black belt down in Virginia Beach. I've known him forever. He would throw Virginia Beach tournaments and stuff and always give me super fights. Like it was a long drive. Like he gave me a super fight at brown belt. I think it might've been my first brown belt match actually. Gustavo gave me a super fight against a Brazilian guy from California. And then right after I got my black belt, literally like a few weeks later, maybe 2 weeks later, Gustavo knew I got my black belt and asked me to compete against Pedro Brandão. Rest in peace. Another guy who passed away way too soon. Pedro was an incredible jiu-jitsu athlete. And it was literally like 2 minutes into the match, like Pedro scooped me up on a single. And the way I went down, it exploded my knee, you know. So I was out. The match ended, you know what I mean? So that match never went anywhere. Like it, and we were all over the place in that 2 minutes. I remember trying rolling footlock. Pedro came up, got the 2 points, and we were scrambling. It was crazy. But that was my first match. I remember how hype I was. Oh, man, I'm black belt now. I'm going to go. But, yeah, Pedrinho, he beat me in brown belt, too. He beat me in pan 1 year. But, yeah, another guy who was incredible. You know, rest in peace, Pedro. Another way too soon. Gone way too soon. But so my first black belt tournament match was, I think it was CBJJ or CBJJO, I think it was. I think which was run by Nova Unal at the time. And who do I have first round? They give me Leo Santos first round. The gringo comes in Rio. It was in Niterói. Comes in. I have Leo first round. I was young baby face. I mean, we could watch it. You want to pull it up? We can watch it. Yeah, yeah.
So how far are we? How long have you been a black belt?
So I'm new. I think this was probably few months, maybe not even a year, you know, because I just came back off that knee rehab, and then I went to Brazil, and then I competed right away. I was like, and then here you go, yep, first round. There's Leo and Jared USA. I didn't even know my last name.
Just Jared USA.
Yeah, look at this. Look at the old baby face. I'm scared to death. I knew who I had in front of me. I had the best lightweight athlete at the time standing in front of me.
You had the facial expression looked like you were there, you know?
I was there but wasn't there.
Yeah.
And then when I pull closed guard on a dude who you don't want to be on the bottom with. Mm-hmm. I remember that, and I'm thinking like, what am I doing? So I just, yeah.
Man.
So I'm frozen here. Like, I didn't know what to do. I couldn't think. I couldn't operate. And like I said, it probably wouldn't have made a difference, because I just watched Leo do the same thing to everybody over the years. Mm-hmm. He either pulls butterfly, sweeps you, or gets on top, and he's like the most unreal guard passer.
So have, at this point, just in this pressure that you're kind of feeling, any note of like, oh, wow, I haven't felt this before. This is the best guy I've rolled with?
Not necessarily. I remember, though, I really remember looking up at, like, right away at this point and being like, holy shit, I'm fighting Leo Santos. I remember that. And I was like, man, this dude was the best at the time, literally the best. And they gave him the easy American first round and smashed on me. So go ahead. I remember this. I'm stuck. He's trying to figure me out here, and there wasn't much to figure out. I try to play deep half there, and he just stuffs it. I was like, good. Yeah.
Right past that knee, flattens you.
Yep. Oh, man. I remember his pressure being unreal, unreal. And I also remember thinking after this match, like, man, I want to be like that, you know?
Yeah.
And so... And then look at the game now. It's the same. I try to develop like that style even more after this, you know? I'm fighting, scrambling, trying to recover.
Early on at black belt, are you more of a guard player?
I was more mixed.
Yeah.
You know, but a little bit lost, not sure what I really wanted to do, you know?
Yeah, yeah. Oh man, you know when the lapels come out.
Yeah, he let me recover half guard there too, by the way, because he's smart. The same game I play still to this day, try mm-hmm. to rack up more points, you know. He already felt my level was not on his level, and mm-hmm. I could tell he was just like working me.
Is this your only time you compete against him?
Yeah. And you know what? We've remained friendly over the years, and there's always that mutual respect, you know what I mean? And like always a class act. And you've seen his UFC career now, like, why, man. So cool. I mean, it was, I could always say Leo popped my cherry for black belt, you know. Like, I was training in Rio and in Hosinha in the favela with like the Hosinha jiu-jitsu team, so it was like hard training, you know what I mean? Like, you know, I wasn't on that level, you know, and mm-hmm. and I felt it right away, but it was an amazing experience, and I didn't take it as like a, you know, a downer. I just kind of learned from it, you know. I was trying to. I was trying.
Yeah, you really
man.
Are.
I was like,
That movement right there is kind of why I felt like you were, you know, here for it. You were in that fight. You really, even there, didn't lay in mount. Just.
I was trying, man.
Going like, with the tough guy, man.
Dude, it was unreal feeling, you know, like. Oh man, I remember that. I remember laying there like, is this happening? So, funny story after he submits me here. Funny story.
Going, man, that, so, you can see the pressure too.
So he stretched my leg. So that picture right there where he's got my leg back and he submits me there, that was the center fold into Tommy Magazine.
Oh man.
So and the headline was Gringo loses to Idol.
Oh my gosh.
So I was like so yo, but you know what? Like sure, you know, like Gringo gets his ass kicked by somebody he's looked up to, you know what I mean? As a you know, so what a first experience that was. I get destroyed by Leo in the first round. All right. He was an absolute gentleman. I end up on the centerfold of Tatami Magazine and get interviewed, and completely they turn my words around and I lose to my idol first round. So I was like, wow. I was like, but you know what? That was it. That was the start to this thing, you know? Yeah. And then, yeah, what an experience that was. Like in Brazil, like fighting the best dudes right away, just getting out on the mat with these guys and see where it goes. And he did that same thing to everybody the rest of that day. Same thing.
Welcome to black belt is how those feel.
Absolutely. No excuses. That's just a welcome to black belt moment. It's pretty awesome, actually. It's a great story. You know, that's part of my story right there. Like I could always say that's a big part of the story right there, you know. Yeah, that was my welcome. That was, he opened the door for me.
Where does your mindset go from there? You go into that match. Do you have any thought of like, ooh, that level is just too far? Or are you just like, okay, let me figure this out?
Yeah, no, I knew there was different levels to this thing. I went to try to sign up for an open class right after that, but you needed the medal to get into the open class. I remember that, trying to like talk my way into it, and they wouldn't let me go. I wanted more. Uh-huh. I remember I wanted more. If I want to get beat up, I want to get beat up all day.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and let's just keep racking up these matches right out of the gate, you know? It was nothing like that. Of course, no one likes losing like that and getting destroyed, but at the same time, like, who cares? Who cares? It's jiu-jitsu, man. Like, who cares?
But I still see at black belts, at adult, at masters, the fear of losing will keep people from competing.
Oh yeah,
so much.
Oh yeah, the fear of losing, in front of their students, the fear of losing in front of their friends, worried about what people think of them. Like, dude, that's a whole different mental beast within itself right there. People stymie their own, you know, progress, you know, by thinking like that. The fear of losing, the fear of looking bad, the fear of looking bad on social media, the fear of, you know, oh my God, my students are going to leave me if I lose. Dude, if your students leave you because you lose, you don't want those students with you in the first place. You know what I mean? If you're out there putting on a line, you're out there putting on a line. Who cares? Of course we all want to win. And so of course in the professional matches, we all want to win the payout.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Of course. You know, we're all professional athletes at the time. You know, like we want to win. But you're going to lose too. You know what I mean? Like it's how it goes. And you got to learn how to deal with that and not worry about what the outside voices are saying and you know what? The majority of the time the outside voices aren't really saying much.
Hey guys, Josh McKinney here. Just wanted to interrupt this interview really quick and tell you about something really, really, really exciting that we have going on at simplifyingjiujitsu.com. So over the last few years, I have released 4 different seminars and 4 different courses on simplifyingjiujitsu.com. And over that time, we've sold all of these things as individual products, all the way up until now. And so what I decided to do, because I have all this new content planned that we're going to be pushing out, and I really do not feel like selling all these things individually, I thought that we could look at I Suck at Jiu-Jitsu Show Pro. And what this is going to be is $20 a month, and it is access to every single one of the products that I've made. And it will give you access in April, on April 1st, April Fool's Day, I swear I'm not fooling you. It will give you access on April 1st to the Trinity of Guard Passing, the most teased, the most talked about instructional that we've ever talked about on the I Suck at Jiu-Jitsu Show. We've been talking about this, teasing this for like 3 or 4 years now, and it is finally here, but it is only here on the I Suck at Jiu-Jitsu Show Pro, and that is only available at simplifyingjiu-jitsu.com, or you can check the link in the description. Let's go ahead and get back to the interview. At this point, after this match with Leo, we look at where your jiu-jitsu's at. How long does it kind of take you before you start winning tournaments?
So I would get wins here or there, you know what I mean, in the tournaments. Uh-huh. You know what I mean? I'd get second place. I could catch a third place. You know what I mean? I was having a hard time closing the deal, mm-hmm. per se, you know? I think it was around 2007, 2008, 2000. I can't remember the exact year. Might have been 07 or 09. I can't remember. But we got a group together that, you know, now it's formed in the tag team. It was the Thursday Afternoon Crew. We called it TAC.
Uh-huh.
It was me. It was JT Torres. It was Jay Hayes. It was Wilson Hayes. It was Daniel Tavares. It was Brad Court. It was... you name it, man. Everybody was there. I know I'm missing so many dudes, but guys would come, you know, from all over, New Jersey, New York, Pennsylvania, everywhere, and come train on that. Josh Griffiths, JoJo. Everybody was there, man. They would all come. Who else? There were so many. And we'd have guests like Bruno Frazzato was there for weeks. Renato Teixeira was there. Thiago Alves from Barbosa came for a few weeks. He was there. Dude, there were so many good guys that when everybody start put their resources together, everybody started winning. And I really can look back at that time and thinking that was the group that elevated everybody's level. And then we all start winning. And we start winning super fights, we start winning tournaments, we start winning things, and it starts like kind of piling on. And you know how it is, once you start winning, you gain that confidence as well. And then, like, shit, I went from that, you know, what we just watched with Leo, the easy first round match, you know, the easy first round American match, you know, to, you know, oh, man, it's still not the hardest first round match, but you know Jared's going to give us a rumble at least. You know what I mean? He's going to be in this match. It can go, you know, you mess up, he's going to take a, you know, maybe you get a W out of it. Then it went to, oh, shit, I have Jared first round.
Uh-huh.
You know what I mean? That's not an arrogant thing, but that's like a mental thing, you know, because when you start winning, you just feel good and you feel like you keep winning. You feel like nothing could stop you, mm-hmm. you know? Of course, I still lost, but, you know, the wins gave a lot more.
Yeah.
You know, and I document, you know, I have a book at home. I documented every single match I've ever had and the outcome.
Do you know how many you've had?
Hundreds. Hundreds. I mean, from blue, purple, brown, black, hundreds, hundreds. Maybe a lot.
Man.
Yeah. Hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds. There's a lot. There's a lot of matches. And you got to remember, too, when I was blue and purple, and even brown per se, the local scene wasn't big yet. Mm-hmm. So we didn't have as many matches as you guys are getting today. We had to go to Grappler's Quest. We had to go to, you know, Yamazaki tournament, the Virginia Beach tournament, everywhere, you know. So we had to go to all these different places, you know. So we weren't having IBJJF tournaments every weekend in different states. We're lucky if we had Pan, that was it. Or you had to go to Brazil.
Yeah.
So that was it, you know. So yeah, there was a lot of matches though.
And you know, and I had kind of asked you, you know, before we started recording, that in that time, what was, as you were training through, like, you know, you guys start the Thursday Afternoon Crew, you start winning. I ask you how often you were competing, and you were like, just as much as we could.
As much as we could. We'd get little local stuff. We'd try to go to bigger stuff, you know. And during that time, that's when New York Open started, You know what I mean? We had the New Yorks. We had, you know, different IBJJFs that kind of started around that time, 09, 08, 09, Nogi Pan, New York Open. So it was giving us closer things at a higher level to start competing. So, yeah, that was it, you know.
And
sorry, and I don't mean to cut you off, but Grappler's Quest actually had, like, good higher level professional black belt divisions he'd make for us, too. So we'd get good matches at Grappler's Quest.
What happened to them?
No clue. One day there, one day not. I have no clue.
And they were coming up in America as one of the premier places to be a competitor.
Yeah, yeah. Grappler's Quest was awesome. I prefer Grappler's Quest over some of the other organizations. It was because they'd abide by jiu-jitsu rules.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And you'd always get good random dudes showing up at Grappler's Quest. Dude, I had a lot of good matches with them. Like, all different random dudes over the years at Grappler's Quest. Like, man, it was no joke. Like, so, yeah, Grappler's Quest was fun. I mean, I fought Formiga at Grappler's Quest, Hinato Migliaccio at Grappler's Quest. All different dudes, man. Like, so many good guys.
So, when you think back on your career, we're going to look at some other matches, some other things. But just when you look back on your competitive career in jiu-jitsu, is there any one or even two things that stand out to you that you just feel pride in, or you're just like, man, I'm so happy I accomplished that or got that?
I know now, I mean, it's not a huge deal, but like when I won Pan in 2014, that was my first tournament I fought under tag team banner. All right. I took a year off, almost a year off from a shoulder surgery. So that was my first tournament back in a long time. I fought Pan 13 times before that. I think I got 5 third places, but I could never get to the top ever from blue to black. I fought them all. You look at all the results from all the way back in the day. You always see my name. Third place, third place, third place, third place, third place. Lose second round, lose first round, third place, you know? So finally I had, that run was really good, and it was a hard run too. Like I had Julio Echeverria first round, who's very good. That was a tough match, first match back after a year. I was able to get through him. I had a guy from High and Gracie second round. I was able to get through him. I had what's the guy there? Richard Rangel, I think, in the semifinals. I can't remember where he was from, out west somewhere, maybe Oregon somewhere. And then I had Freddie Sabatini in the finals. And I've been friends with Fred forever, and his Fred's skill level is off the charts, man, like top notch. I honestly, like, any given day, it could have been Fred, it could have been me, it could have been Fred, it could have been me. Like, and we, our styles were somewhat similar because we liked the stand-up game, the judo game. He was out gripping me in that match a lot, I remember. And I was able to finally just catch my pull, fake guard pull, ankle pick, and Freddie almost swept me in the very end and like had me all up in the air with like 2 seconds left. And I was able to somehow like land on my feet, and then time ran out and I look and I still win 2-0. I was like, shit, I finally did it. 13 tries. You know what I mean? So I remember that being like, that was a fun weekend. That meant a lot. Cause I kept coming back, getting on the podium in Brazil for the first time in the Brasileiro. I think it was 2008, maybe. I beat a guy first round. I was like Gracie Maita guy. And then I beat Casquinha in the second round, which was a huge win for me. Huge win. Everybody thought like he was a huge name in the Masters division back in the day, and even the adult division. I was able to beat him. I passed the guard twice. I remember that. And then that match like, exploded my confidence, man, because like I could do it. You know what I mean? I could do it. And then I lost in the semis to Rodrigo Feijão, 4-0. And all these legends I'm fighting there, 2 legends in a row. And I'm like, fuck, I got Casquinha, I got Feijão, I got all these guys. Feijão, you know. So I get on the podium there, and I'm taking that photo on the podium, and I'm looking around me like, all this shit, Gustavo Dantas, Arrigo Feijão, myself. Like, I was like, wow. You know, so that was a big deal to me, you know, at least in my career, you know. And everything, just a lot of matches, so many different fights, and so many different, like, you know. And I could say, like, I'd say 99.9% of the guys and people I've competed with have all been respectful, class act, you know. And I feel like I've gained, like, good relationships over the years with everybody, too, you know. So it's great experience.
When you look back on your competition career, is there anything, obviously you can't change anything, but anything that you look at that you go, even if you got to talk to yourself or someone else, someone young that's coming up and you saw like they were kind of going the same path as you, would there be anything that you would tweak and you would say, hey, this, you should do this?
Yeah, definitely. I feel like in the earlier stages of my career, I wouldn't say wins were luck, but like I wish I was a little more calculated in my game plans like I am now. Mm-hmm. You know, I'd go out to jump guard or do whatever and just go for it. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, that'll get the job done sometimes, but like when you have a more skilled, you know, methodical guy like we saw, like Leo, who's the best of the best right there, that's not going to work.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's not going to work. You're going to get crushed. Mm-hmm. You got to understand how to play the game. You got to know the rule set, but you also got to be calculated in your game. You know what I mean? Like I go back to the finals with Fred Sabatini. I think he's a better jiu-jitsu practitioner than me. Technically, I think he's better. And he had way more experience. You know what I mean? But I think I just played the game better that day. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And that's kind of what it came down to. Yeah, I got a nice takedown, but you put me and Fred in the ring for a 10-minute match instead of a 5-minute match, that could go a completely different way.
Yeah.
But I was able to prevail in a 5 or 6 minute match, whatever it was. Mm-hmm. You know, so you just gotta, you know, strategy, play the game, be calculated, you know, have a good skill set, be confident in yourself, be confident in your game. I mean, self-confidence for me took years to develop to get to that level that I'm at. You know, I think that was definitely a part of it, the believing in myself, you know.
How did you develop that?
Just kept coming back, training with better people, kept coming back, knowing like I was enjoying the process, you know. I hated losing, but understood it was just losing.
Yeah.
I'm still breathing. I'm still here. I still have a school to run. I still have this, still have that. I'm still here, you know. And then I'm going to keep coming back, and the wins are going to come. I remember, like, I started getting some wins here and there. Like, oh, man, I actually submit this guy. Oh, I did a different position. I did it, you know. Just keep coming back.
That's good advice, I think. I think, you know, for me and coming up as a black belt, my first few years at black belt just was losing every match.
It's hard.
It is. And really it's hard. And you're losing every match traveling with your students, you know, and you're losing in front of them and just being able to go, you know what? I want to win bad enough that I'm willing to lose.
Exactly. And I'm going to come back and eventually I'm going to get all those wins and I'm going to, and you know, I used to do a lot of positive visualization too. I still do for everything. You know what I mean? But like you'd stand in the shower, stand in the mirror and you just keep raising your hand over and over and over again. And, you know, think about that win, you know, you got a match coming up. Like, all right, I'm fighting this dude. This guy likes to do this, 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 and this. All right, I'm going to do it like this. I'm going to do it like this. Hand up, boom, raised. Yeah. You know, positive visualization. Eventually those visualizations start to come true.
Man, you talked about something else last time you were here, and it was for competitors, and it's something that for me felt like one of the last pieces of doing well last year, and it was you were talking about just going and having fun,
yeah.
And you didn't talk about it in a cheesy T-ball way.
Yeah.
Just how you think about that.
Like, yeah, I hate when guys say, like, yeah, I just went for the experience. You know, it was a good experience. Like, man, even with that first match we just watched, like, man, you don't go for the experience. You go to win. You go to win. You're an athlete. You're going to win. You're going to go travel. I'm not traveling to Guam or Japan or across the world to Abu Dhabi to lose for the experience. The experience comes after the match. You can go sightsee. You can go do whatever you want to do. You can study your match if you won or lost, whatever. That's the experience. The process is the experience. I lost to the guy who won the whole thing. I hate that.
I do too.
That's an excuse, man. God was the best. He beat me. I lost to the best guy.
I basically got second.
I'm the second best guy because I lost to this guy first round. I might have lost him 47-0 and then got submitted. But you know what I mean? Like, yeah, having fun's important. Enjoying the process, seeing your friends, you know, like being with your students, you know, warming up, getting out there, enjoying the feel of the mat and, the, you know, competing with somebody, getting hyped. You see that?
Uh-huh. Yeah, right? I get it.
I'm ready. But, you know, when it's game time, it's game time. You got to be hyper-focused, man. You got to understand it's work. Now it's time to work. You know, this is our profession, you know? So I'm not going to, you know, I'm in law enforcement. I'm a detective in outside of Philadelphia, and I'm not doing that job for a good time.
Yeah.
It's the same thing when I'm chasing down leads and chasing people. I'm not in it for the experience. You know, it's the same thing with jiu-jitsu. I'm not in it for the experience. I'm not in it to chase down that new cool position on you. I'm in it to win. I'll get hyped for a sec.
I get it.
But you get what I'm saying? Uh-huh. So I it's really the parallels. It's important. Even when I skateboarded back in the day, I skateboarded big and aggressive, fast, handrails, stairs, blah, blah, blah. I wasn't the most technical guy on the skateboard. I'm not the most technical guy in jiu-jitsu. But my style was fast, hard-paced, and aggressive. My same way in law enforcement. I like to work, get the job done. So, like, that's kind of just the way I live.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's when I'm competing, I'm focused on the competition. You know, I'm here, I look across the mat at you, you're going to be my victim. And if you're not, you're not. Who cares at the end of the day? But that's my mentality going into it. I do not care. Even if we're boys, we're best friends, like, you know, not in that moment, man. I'm not talking to you before the match. We're not boys. I'm not going to give you 47 handshakes and hugs before, hey, bro, yo, man, I can't wait. Nah, man, save that. Save it. That's mental weakness, in my opinion. Yeah, hey, good to see you. How you doing? All right, I'll talk to you after. You know?
Mm-hmm.
Stuff like that.
That little head game part of the jiu-jitsu competition, not just in your own head, but when it's lead up to the competitor. We've always all had white belts that I think that guy might be in my division. I think that guy, oh, I think I'm pretty sure that's the guy. You know?
I'll tell you some of the little tricks that I used to do.
Uh-huh.
And you know, I don't care. First off, that's why I didn't really do stripes in my school neither, because I didn't even want the guys knowing the debt, like a 1, 2, 3. You see a 4-stripe guy, who cares? Mm-hmm. 4-stripe blue belt. You got, and you're the other school that does stripes, and you're just the 1-stripe. Oh, my God, I got the 4-stripe blue belt. I do a club from a school with no stripes. I don't know what those stripes mean.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care. Oh, he's close to a purple belt. Big deal. You know what I mean? For me, I would always say, like, if I knew, I'd look at the bracket or I'd look at the super fight, and maybe the guy wasn't a black belt as long, you know what I mean? I would always try to wear the belt with all my degrees on it, you know, like, so you show if you got like the 4 or 5 degrees on it, and they'd be like, oh my God. And they comment on it and they're broken right away. Yeah. Broken. Or, you know, oh my God, I've been watching you forever. Like, how long you been black? I was like, what, man?
Yeah.
We talk after. I know they're broken right away. Mm-hmm. And those are some of the little tricks, just like, you know, you could put out there, like, even on the weigh-ins, the handshake, you know what I mean? You just, okay, and boom. You know, I'm not here to socialize with you. And if you beat me, you beat me. Good for you. If you don't, you don't. Who cares? Good for you. I'm not going to disrespect you afterwards. Because
mm-hmm.
I've been saying this for years, but you try to win and lose with that same face. Because yeah, because you got to remember, too, like, the people you're competing against is working, hopefully, just as hard to be there. So you don't want to disrespect them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you win. Yeah, maybe a little social media, this or that, but you don't disrespect them. And I'm a big, you know, believer in that. You know, you got to treat everybody with respect. You win and lose with the same face, because you never know when you're going to cross paths with that person. You never know when they're going to be on your team down the road. You mm-hmm. never know. I competed with Watson back in the day. Result doesn't matter, but we're teammates now. I competed with my guy Raji from New York back in the day. He beat me. And I fought super heavyweight one day just to do it. He beat me. He beat me in the finals. Fair and square. Kicked my ass. But you know what? He's now part of our team too. And we always had that mutual respect for one another. Never disrespected one another. We became friends after that. And look at us now. We're thick as thieves. You know? So that's important.
That is. Even when Mark Vives tried to scout you for his brother.
Yeah.
Even when he tried to sneak.
Yeah. It's all good. He tried to sneak into my school, you know what I mean? Like, you know, he'd be sneaky with his motorcycle and everything, park on the side. He'd park his motorcycle in the school. Yeah, he'd ride it right in the front door. But yeah, that was a crazy story too, because I thought I was going to have to fight Miles. Or was it Miles? I can't remember. Mike or Miles? I can't remember. But and then this guy calls me. Like, he just moves from, you know, he's from Delaware. I was like, wait a second. I was like, is this a joke? He's like, no, I moved to the area. I want to come train. I was like, yo, cuz, I'm watching your brother on the TV right now. So, yeah, it was crazy. But small world, look at us. And we're all thick as thieves too, you know? So I think it's important to develop that respect amongst competitors and one another. You don't got to be best friends. You know what I mean? You can have that competitive relationship, obviously, you know? Yeah, if you beat me, I'm going to want to beat you. But look at Carlos Portuguese. I fought him, what, 4 times? 3 times? 4 times? He kicked my ass 4 times. You know what I mean? And the guy always had my number. Always, for I game plan them different each time. You know what I mean? And I got close one time. I'd get good position on another time. I'd do that. I'd pull the trigger on something too soon, and he'd come back and win. But you know what? We always remain very friendly after the fact. But I respect him tremendously for that. He never disrespected. You know, he knew he kicked my ass four times. And we'd always be business on the mat.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? But he was one guy who always had my number. I couldn't figure him out to this day. Yeah, that's, you know, but respect to him. You know, he's a great competitor. And he was another one of those dudes from that era, that generation, who was just an incredible jiu-jitsu athlete.
Man, when you see the way that a lot of jiu-jitsu media is portrayed now, too, that is, you know, respect is not really even understood, you know?
No, it's not anymore. At times it is, at times it's not. But, like, that's the entertainment value of it, too. I think people dig that. But, you know, inside, you know, people still get hurt. They still got a lot of feelings, you know. Some guys are marketing themselves, like, you know, a little different nowadays, you know. I didn't have that social media coming up. I was on social media for a while. Don't get me wrong. I did try to market myself. I'm not going to front like I wasn't on Instagram, and I wasn't trying to push my school's brand out there. You know, I'd win. I'd put the picture up with my hand and this and that. I'll even go as far as saying that used to be some of my positive visualization, what post I would make when I won.
Mm-hmm.
That was part of my process, I guess. But then I realized, like, yeah, you might have maybe had at one point like 20-some thousand, 29,000, 30,000 followers at one point when I had the Instagram or whatever. And I'm thinking, like, man, I don't even know any of these people. Like, what am I working so hard on this social media for when I literally know like 100 people on my page? And then that takes me back to, even my wife will bring it up, like, yo, man, you're stuck on your phone when you could be hanging out with us and the family. Like, fuck, you're right, man. Mm-hmm. And it took that, like, I had to break that social media addiction too. And once I did, my time management in my life became so much better. And I realized, dude, it didn't affect my team at all, did it? Hey, we're still successful. Did it affect my jiu-jitsu skills? No. Am I getting way more time to do other things? Actually, I can lift my head and see the world around me. You know what I mean? And no knock on social media. That's my personal, like, I prefer not to be on it. You know what I mean? It's no knock. And you do great social media. A lot of guys do great social media. They market well. Dude, it's free marketing.
Mm-hmm.
It's amazing. If you own a school, you should be on social media. I don't own a school anymore. I just run a team. You guys have all your own social media. I don't need to be on there anymore.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? But getting off that was a huge, breath of fresh air for me. You know what I mean? Because a lot of that stuff, all the beef and back and forth between people and the politics and you know, the marketing and shit talk after matches, before the matches, to hype it up, it's all out of sight, out of mind for me at this point.
Yeah.
If someone needs to get a hold of me, they know how to get a hold of me. I don't need all that. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So, yeah, jumping off of social media a few years ago at this point was probably the best thing, one of the best choices I ever made.
Man, that's awesome.
Yeah.
So just back on to our doing some jiu-jitsu viewings.
All right, let's go. Let's go.
We went to, we just talked 2014, Dupans.
Right, right.
So this is now the in-between between your 2015. We're going to watch actually 15 and 16 highlights, right?
So 2014, right after Pan, I was still on that high, but I kind of cut my training back a little bit. Like, I was like, shit, I want Pan. I'm the fucking man now, you know? But, like, it was bullshit because I stopped training the way I should have been training. I went to New York Open in July right afterwards. I took a serious head injury during that tournament, and not to take away from my opponent who beat me that day neither. He was prepared. He was ready to go. He would have probably beat me anyway. I'll say that straight up. His game was very difficult. A dude I never heard of. That's what you get. You get those random dudes you never fucking heard of, and they come in to steamroll everybody.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So lesson learned too, but I took a very serious injury that day. And then I was out of commission for like a year. And I went through serious, like, some mental health issues from the concussions. I went through vision problems from the concussions. I went through depression and all that stuff, you know, and I had to, like, see doctors to get it back together. So 2015 rolls around, And I was even being told at that point, you're never going to compete again, because I wasn't seeing the right doctors, by the way. Mm-hmm. Kind of got myself through it with a little medical team. 2018 rolled around. I did go through it all again, and I saw the doctors in Pittsburgh, Mickey Collins and all them, who help all the professional athletes, like Sidney Crosby and all like the big hockey players. And when I would go out to Pittsburgh every few months and saw them, Dr. Collins. They got my life back together from the head injuries. I wish I went to them in 2014. Because to get on the right path immediately, but it took a long time. So, yeah. So, anyway, 15 comes back around. I get myself back together. I come back at middleweight now. I'm thick. You know, I'm like, yo, I'm going to try a different weight class now, you know? So, here we go.
So, here's where we're at. And what does the training look like in the lead up to these, to this?
It was a little bit different because I was still a little bit afraid to get hit in the head and this and that, you know? Look at that face.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Just, that's, you look like you're just happy to see somebody in your division.
Yeah, you yeah. Know? So I remember, I know we this runs through a little bit quick, but I'll talk you through it. So this was against Angelo Carioca from, I think he was from Manaus, and he was in New York Open. It was a three-man division that day in middleweight, and I was able to win that division. This was in Chicago Open.
Man, that passing looks good.
And then I was able to win that division that day, had two matches. I remember that day I wasn't feeling right again, but we got through it. This was Boston. Actually, I think I fought middle heavy this day.
Ooh.
Yeah, yeah, I was a little thick, a little thick. So I remember getting like the three, it was like 3 weeks in a row, the tournaments there. And I was traveling all over, and I felt like I was getting back in that rhythm a little bit. Here's a Bravo. This is a nice little finish here. People say I don't do submissions. There you go. I do a little bit. Boring jiu-jitsu, but you know, every once in a while, from the feet too.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah, that was in Boston. That was a fun day. I remember my brother drove up to Boston with me for that one. So we had a fun little bonding time and stuff. See, no crazy celebrations, no nonsense like that.
No crazy celebration.
All right. So this was New York Pro in, back in like New York. Cause they would, remember they would do the cash prize a little bit for but you had to have more than like five or six dudes in your division. Uh-huh. So I remember this was another three-man division that day.
So was this open class then? Was that what the cash prize was for?
I think it was for division two, I think. Okay. And so this was middleweight, back to middleweight. And see, this is another good example. Like, that's my friend Christian. We've been friends a long time, but we were all business that day. You know what I mean? I would never disrespect him or do anything like that. We've trained together many times. He would come to my school every once in a while. I'd train with him in New York, you know. He's a good dude, man. Just all-around good dude. And then, you know, is what it is.
So as you're getting down to middleweight, are you just back down to middleweight, are you starting to kind of feel like a rhythm again?
Yep.
Starting to feel good?
Yep. This guy is another dude. I didn't hear of this guy till this day. His name was Adam. He was tough, man. Long, lanky guy. But see, the game doesn't change, right? Weave pass.
Pressure.
You know, pressure pass, you know. But you could see, like, getting back right to the knee on stomach, belly flop, boom.
Oh, yeah.
And then he was tough, though, man. That was a battle getting through to that to get there with him. I remember that.
I think Clean calls that belly flop the heart stopper that you just did.
Yeah.
You can see it. You can see it.
Try to stop hearts. Yeah, so I remember the match ended there in, like, the north-south. Oh, and maybe not. I don't know. But, yeah, he was tall, lanky, like, difficult body type, you know. It was a fun match. That was a fun day, you know. But I remember, I believe, was that the end of the season right there? I believe it was. Let's see here. I remember having an undefeated run.
Oh, man.
On that. Oh, that's why I tied with Suyan. Remember that?
Yep, I guess this probably would have been when I met you.
That was in St. Louis. You know, me and Suyan had a battle, like a stand-up battle.
Good podium. So how long did you go undefeated?
That was the first day back. I actually smiled there on the podium. I remember, like, because, dude, the hell I went through to get back to that point was absolutely insane. Okay, what is this, 16 now?
Now we're to 16.
So this goes right back into the 16. So 15 ended good. This
start
is
this New up York. With the, oh,
oh
yeah.
Oh, man. New York Open. So that was Jair. We became friendly too. This was in Minnesota right here. We fought in a brewery. It was like a night of super fights. It was like really fun. Yeah, this was Boston Open right here too. Oh, elbow crush joint here. Blip.
Oh, yeah.
So back to New York Open here. Oh, this was back down to lightweight, by the way, here. So I remember, like, all right, it was time to get back into, like, you know, where I always was, you know? And then we had that good. This was a super fight. This was Tap Cancer Out. There's another guy, Ed Apicella, really cool guy right there.
Man, just so many knee cuts.
That was a really, that was an example of a lazy guard pull on that dude's point right there. Okay. So if you, I mean, yeah, I don't know if you go back, but like, that's why I tell my guys, if you're going to pull, you got to pull with purpose.
Wait, is this, yeah, this is.
Because, like, he pulled very sloppy there, and it was just like, boom. And I remember this specifically, too. I don't even remember this dude's name. But as soon as he pulled, I remember my knee went right to his sternum, and he goes, oh! I knew he was mentally broken right there. Mm-hmm. And it was like, yeah, this guy was tough, too. He's my Jeremy Henderson, I think. Like, very tough guy, you know? This was an impromptu super fight at some local tournament where this guy wanted to have a match, and he was like super heavyweight guy. So I said, all right, let's go. Big boy. And the same thing.
And you're lightweight at this time?
I'm lightweight at this time. All right. Yep.
You can see towards the end of this, I mean, even just the start of the 16 highlight, you can see a difference in your movement.
Yeah.
You just look more comfortable.
I became more confident again. Yeah. Not afraid to get. So this match here against Jair again, he actually beat me in the first round this day, 2-0. He swept me with like 10 seconds left. And then it was a 3-man division. So I had to come back and fight again. So I beat the next guy, then came back in the finals and had a war and was able to beat him in the finals there back. And I had fought him the week prior in New York also. So me and him fought 3 times in 2 weeks. And guess what? We developed a very nice relationship after that, you know what I mean? And are still friendly to this day. And I really believe it was that camaraderie, like, you know, just by going to battle with one another, you know?
And, man, there's a lot to that. Because with that, with the concussions, with the maybe facing not being able to compete in jiu-jitsu anymore, and then getting rolling again and getting back to competing, while you're also figuring out this confidence and kind of figuring out, and obviously getting those reps, I'm sure had a lot to do with it.
Yeah.
But while you're trying to do that, what are some, like, are there any takeaways that you had that were like, oh, this was a big thing that made me more confident, that helped me perform smoother?
Just knowing that, like, you know, I stopped. Dude, you got to imagine, like, for a year straight, I felt like I was high because, like, I didn't feel right. It was that constant fog, you know, like, or drunk.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? For, like, a year straight almost. So, like, to get out of that fog finally was all I needed. But then I had that fear of getting back into that fog if something happened again. So, like, yeah, it was really – but, you know, once I started going, you know, touch, shake, boom, go, let's go. You know, and at least I had a better understanding of how to deal with it if it did happen again. You know what I mean? Everything's fixable. You know.
So I have one more video for us. This was one of the suggestions, and this is Asian Open, right? Is this the final?
No, this was actually the first round. Like, I had a match with Yosuke first round. He was like their top lightweight masters guy at the time there, so I knew I had a rumble ahead of me in the first round there. I saw the bracket, but it was the same exact thought process. Like, we knew who each other were. Mm-hmm. We never met, but we, you know, you could tell, like, we knew who each other were. I was there with all my boys from Guam. I was there with Purebred. I would go to Guam first, then we'd all go to Japan together. That's our affiliate out there, Purebred Jiu-Jitsu. Shout out Steve Roberto and all the Purebred boys. But, you know, I gave those guys that same speech before. The night before we all went to Japan, our last training session, I was like, yo, myself and because JT was with me there too. I was like, yo, we flew across the world not to have fun. We flew across the world to win. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, I'm not taking it any other way, you know? And then I saw the bracket. I was like, fuck, I got Yosuke first round. And I was like, I figured it was going to be the finals. You know what I mean? So mm-hmm. first round, I'm like, I get past him. Let's go. Mm-hmm. And our styles didn't mesh that day. He seemed a little off that day too. Like it wasn't his normal self. You know what I mean? And I'll be the first to say that. I don't think I got the best Yoski that day.
Yeah.
You know, because he's been amazing ever since. You know what I mean? It's nothing but respect for him. He's a class act also. Mm-hmm. But it just, the cars went my direction that day. You know what I mean? And I was able to kind of, our styles didn't match very well neither.
Yeah.
Like, you know, like I felt like the top game didn't match what he was throwing at me from the bottom. So it just kind of worked out, you know, but nothing but respect for him, you know,
man. And, you can also, yeah, you can hear JT coaching you in this, and you can tell what the vibe was that day because you, as we'll bring it up as it goes, but as you start to pull away, he's not telling you to lay.
Nah.
He's not telling you to.
No, they were telling me to put him away.
Yep.
You know, and I was able to pass in the very end, which we'll get to. You know what I mean? Actually, I did good break dancing in this fight.
You did.
But but just fighting in Japan, you know what I mean? It's special.
Yeah.
You know, it's special. You know. Right, let's go. But this was so long ago, man. This is more than 10 years ago. You know what I mean? Like, I say Yoski, I get on the mat with Yoski now, he'd probably run over me in a tournament today, you know? But, like...
Good grip fight. Yeah, good grip fight.
I knew as soon as he started putting his butt back and pulling backwards, I remember this, and I had my sleeve grip. I was like, I'm going to take him down with my pick if he doesn't pull first.
Yep.
So, boom. It was, it was like it flowed. You know what I mean?
Man, right to that kind of mission control on that knee cut and just good pressure. You feel like you've had good pressure all at black belt, or is it something you develop later?
No, it was developmental, you know what I mean? It's something that comes with the territory. It's just like any other position. You got to get confident in, like, smashing dudes, not overexerting, making your weight too high or this or that, you know? Yeah. Yeah, I remember, like, thinking, like, man, could I be able to brabo this dude right here? I remember that, and then he gets underneath me, and I'm like, oh, boy. Like I said, he didn't feel, like, physically strong that day, and he didn't feel, like, he felt, like, tired, you know?
Yeah.
And I know that's not him.
Uh-huh.
I know that's not him. Despite all the studying I did of him.
Do you think that there can be any in these type of things, that effect of, like, you know, the same effect as the gringo coming in? That maybe you go, oh, I'm worried that I have, you know, I have this guy in Asian Open. Do you think that can play on the other side of, like, man, this invader's coming from, you know, America to try to.
And then maybe he's competing in front of his own students that mm-hmm. day. So there's that extra pressure, you know, here we go. What is this? It's crazy. Get crazy.
That was.
Blip.
Yeah.
Yo.
You can't miss that part. that was money.
What was that? I don't even know. I think.
How old were you when you hit that backflip right there to the feet?
I don't know. That was crazy, though. I think this was Master 1, maybe. Master 1 or Master 2. I can't remember. It might have been Master 2.
Okay.
But I think that moment, like, I haven't watched this match in a while, but I think in that moment, that was the breaking point of the match.
Mm-hmm.
Like, man, I put everybody else over with that sweep, and this dude just freaking one-handed breakdance backflips out of that joint. Like, who knows, you know what I mean? But I felt you could feel it a little bit during that match. Like, that could have been the breaking point. But like I said, I got nothing but respect for him and his accomplishments and his accolades. And, you know, the dude's amazing. I think he just won Master Worlds again, didn't he? Like, yeah. Like, this dude's unreal. But...
When you go with somebody too, and you feel that in competition, when they, especially because he went from defending a bad position to he went from defending bad position to, like, getting into probably one of his favorite spots.
Yes,
and mm-hmm. then you could tell that there was something like when you get out of it, then you're like, oh gosh, that was most of my energy. That was a minute of time to get that set up, and now he knows what my best move is.
Yeah, it's demoralizing, you mm-hmm. know what I'm saying? And I never wanted to get into his open guard or get tied up into his 50 game neither. I remember specifically thinking that. I wanted to keep him tight
uh-huh.
and pressurized, and it worked out, you know, because I mean, I studied him a lot before this match because I knew what I was getting into with him.
And it seems like you're always behind that left leg on the knee, whether you're going leg weave or whether you're underhooking it like you're doing here.
So I remember with him too, we purposely like planned to let him go to half guard if he takes it, takes the bait, and he did. He took it like instead of like standing and trying to pass with him because his open guard is a savagery, you know. But a lot of guys will take that bait if you stay on your knees there, and that works kind of right into my wheelhouse. Yeah, there was a lot that went, a lot of prep that went into this match. I probably could have sealed that up right there. Yeah, see, this is like, I was like, oh, I was little, I didn't want him to get him here. So yep. I got my underhook back. And I remember him exerting a lot of energy here too, trying to get back up there. I remember this. And then I almost fall over. We press it down so hard. I remember that.
Oh, good head control there. You see what I mean? That was what, like, it was. Yeah.
Yeah. I remember his energy exertion there, like trying to get up off his elbow, even with my underhook.
Mm-hmm.
He almost sweeps me here. He almost puts me over with just like a straight like bridge. I remember that. That could have been bad if I accept that sweep and he ends up on top there. That could have changed the whole dynamic of the match.
It's still only 2-0, right?
2-0, I think, with maybe advantage or two. But he almost puts me over here. Boom.
Again, under that leg, under that far leg.
Yeah, that would have changed the whole dynamic there. I'm telling you, because I would have probably been in a bad spot. And here's where I think we pass here. Oh.
That was great.
I was excited. I was excited because I respected him so much.
Mm-hmm.
To me, that was like an important match, an important win, you know.
And you know, when you know a division well enough, you know what the real final is a lot of times.
Yeah. He had my belt. And my shoulder roll gi didn't pass that day, so I had to put on a different gi. So
you're...
Yeah, I was like, I was really bummed out. Like, I had my whole gi ready to go for my Asian Open gi, but I guess it was just too short for them that day. So my boy Takahiro, who owns the company, he hooked me up with a gi out there and just gave it to me real quick right before the match. Thank God. Oof. Yeah.
Good stuff. Good stuff.
Yeah, you know, respect, you know, nothing, respect, you know, but... Yeah, and if you look him up on YouTube, whatever, you see all his matches, he's a hammer, man. Very good.
When you look back, you think about those matches and those fights, do you kind of, like, even seeing, I guess, what year was that, the Asian
12, Open? 2000, that one was 2012. I won 2010 Asian Open, and then we came back in 2012 and did it again.
So there's something I always have noted about you is, like, your... development as a competitor too, you know, as guys typically a lot of masters guys I see, their game stays their game forever, right?
Yeah.
The pillars of your game have stayed your game, right?
Yep.
But see matches, you know, we were talking about match from 2020 where you were, you know, hitting a footlock I'd never seen before.
Yep.
The
paper cutter.
And you know, you're hitting stuff like that. And I kind of do know the answer to this just because I've seen you do it so much in how you will exchange ideas and stuff with people. But is that one of your main ways of just learning these new things and keeping your game kind of fresh?
Yeah, and that's what keeps it fun.
Yeah.
You get what I'm saying? That's what keeps it fun. That's what keeps it fresh, you know. Always be open to trying and learning new things. You know, and that's what's awesome about the art. Like, our body moves in so many different ways. We get somebody else's body to move in so many different ways. It's never going to be stagnant. You know? So, yeah, keep it. That's the way to keep it fun for me. But honestly, the most fun is just smashing.
Oh, yeah.
Just, you know, work down, smash. Like, that's the most fun. Knee cut, knee cut, knee cut. That's, to me, that's the best feeling in jiu-jitsu for me. Passing a guard, you know, it's just nothing like it. Some guys love sweeps, triangles, whatever. Like, that's beautiful. That's your thing, you know. But for me, it's that feeling of securing that guard pass, whether it be a knee cut, whether it be a weave pass, whether it be anything. But securing that, oh, man, it's like that chest to chest. Oh, man, it's the best feeling for me.
Putting the squeeze on, man. That is, I completely agree with that.
It's very gratifying.
Uh-huh. It is. And there's something about, there's just something different about sweeping somebody and then coming up on top into their guard versus passing somebody's guard.
Yeah.
You know, there is something about, the reward is different.
It's different.
You know?
Yeah, because like, I won't say you just dominated another human, but like you've secured it, you know, like you've secured, like, I don't know. It's a good feeling, like clearing your leg from that puzzle or clearing your body from that puzzle of just, you know, and just like that fight and boom, just getting the hold down, look at the ref and getting the three. Oh man, it's a good feel.
Nothing. I agree. Nothing beats it. I have a picture of me smiling after telling one of my students, like, all I care is to get chest to chest with this guy. Yeah. And it's the last like 10 seconds of the match and I'm passing into mount. And I have the biggest smile while he's framing my face. I'm like, finally, we did it.
That's awesome. You know?
So, for you, after 20 years of black belt, after, you know, 30 years almost of doing jiu-jitsu, I finish with this question a lot, and I really am kind of curious with you, with kind of where you'll go with it. But when you think back to that time, is there anything that really stands out when I ask you what's some of the best jiu-jitsu advice that you've gotten?
Wow.
Which is basically like me saying, you know, what's the best advice I've gotten in my life, you know?
No, I could look back on it and think about, I went from like a young 20-something-year-old black belt to like now in my mid-40s black belt. I grew up during that phase, you know, with that piece of cloth wrapped around my waist, you know? I went from, like I said, like from my young 20 days to my midlife. Yeah, so I've developed a lot as a human, developed a lot as a man, and developed a lot as a jiu-jitsu practitioner. And looking back, even looking back at some of the old photos or some of the old videos, like of like when I was in my 20s, like almost squirmish to me a little bit, because maybe I didn't like the way I acted sometimes, and maybe I didn't like the way I presented myself at times, you know? And then I'm very cognizant of that now, of like how I present myself, don't want to offend anybody, don't want to cause conflict, but at the same time, you know, don't want to be disrespected.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense to you? I like to keep it like real level.
Mm-hmm.
You know, especially now that my daughter's getting older, she can go on YouTube and find this, and then my son will be getting older, he can go on YouTube and find this. I want to make sure I'm good out there for them. You know what I mean? Not leaving a trail of negativity. Does that make sense to you? Because that's my priority, like we talked about earlier. And that's something like, you know, I didn't take into consideration when I was younger. You know, you got kids that grow up and can find you on the internet. Mm-hmm. Oh, there's daddy. Why is daddy saying the F word? Why is daddy punching that guy in the face?
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's what we did for a living.
Yeah.
Or why is daddy doing it? But, you know, so you want to make sure you're kind of doing it right for the next generation.
Is there anything that you think about that just as typical everyday jiu-jitsu practitioners that we could be that is doing it right for the next generation that we could be doing?
And take care of your bodies. You know what I mean? Like, if I always say that, like, my body is just obliterated right now. Like, and we all could. We're all beat up. The arthritis already in the fingers, the shoulders, the knees, the back, the face. My face is always messed up, but come on. I don't got a handsome face like you, you know. Yeah. But like, yeah, take care of your body. You know what I mean? I've never done steroids. I've never done the TRT. I've never done any of that stuff, which seems to be everybody's doing nowadays, you know? People have kind of asked me if I'd be interested. And yeah, of course, maybe if I was got to prescribe properly or whatever, but I just never got into that, you know? Could it help me? Yeah. But you know what? I got to lose a little weight. I'm going to do it naturally. Like I always did for a million years, not a million years, but all the years I competed. You go on a diet, you lose your weight, you make your weight, you go fight, and you put your weight back on again after you're done. That's life.
That's life.
You know what I mean? So just take care of yourselves. Take care of your brain. Take care of your mental health. Take care of your physical health. You know what I mean? Look out for others. If you see somebody else struggling, you know what I mean? Don't stomp on them. You know, try to help them. Make sure your teammates are taken care of. Make sure your people are right. You know what I mean? Open lines of communication, like we discussed earlier, being able to have a talk with somebody instead of just going to the next dude and talking shit about this guy. Why don't you just go to this guy and settle your shit? Mm-hmm. That's important nowadays, you know. You know, conflict resolution. You know, this is a professional sport. Act like it.
Yeah.
You know, I respect everybody out there who steps on the mat to compete. I really do. I respect it. It takes a lot to step out there. I don't care what belt you are, you know. Enjoy the process, but go out there and, you know, take it serious. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And represent the sport well, you know. Yeah.
Man, I think that those are, yeah, I think that those are the reason that, like I said, that all of us guys on tag team, you know, like you, is that we love that. That is, you know, we got to put all those words on a patch, man. You know?
Something. Yeah, something, and, something.
You know, and it's hard to even explain that, you know, and just, you know, all those, the importance of helping your guys, helping you taking care of yourself so yeah. you can take care of other people.
Yeah.
And just, you know, giving back and as silly as it sounds, just being respectful.
Yeah. It's not hard. It's not hard to do. You know, you just, I don't know. It's you can't tell people what to do. You know what I mean? But it's not hard. I find it nowadays, it's much easier to be nice and kind and respectful than it is to be mean, angry, tough guy, you know what I mean? Like, we can still get down if we got to get down, you know what I mean? But at this point in my life, like, what's the point, man? Like, I'd rather just have it be in a good place, in a happy place, in a peaceful place, you know? I'm me. It is what it is. Jiu-Jitsu definitely helped my life. It's definitely changed my life. It's definitely beat my body up. Yeah. It's definitely helped my body. It's been like a core of everything. If you think about it, I've seen the world 2 or 3 times around, you know, friends everywhere. Like we said, I don't know. I don't know what else you can ask for. Like, you know, got to compete against some of the best athletes and people I've met in my life, you know, shared the mat with I got beat by Rafael Dos Anjos twice. Look at him, UFC star. Leo Sanchez, UFC star. All these guys are all MMA stars. You know what I mean? Like, I shared a mat with some incredible, incredible people over the years. I was lucky enough to compete against some of the highest level people in my generation, my era. But, you know, here we are. We're still doing it. And now I enjoy watching you guys do it. I always enjoyed watching you guys do it. But you guys are carrying the torch, man. I'm kind of just here to support you guys at this point and lead you guys.
Yeah. Just on that note, and just to kind of finish, is how does that kind of feel to see guys like, you know, Watson, who came up and competed against you,
yep.
Guy like Mark, who you have that story with, you know, and just all the other guys just having so much, just doing well with their teams and with.
I'm very proud, and I'm honored too that these guys would want to like carry the flag. You know what I mean, like. When we're in the room tomorrow or tonight or tomorrow or when we were doing all the team days back, you know, when we did them in Philly and stuff, and you see all these people wearing your team patch and I've never met some of these people. I'm like, man, these people trust me enough and trust the process enough and trust the team enough to represent, you know, and then they have their kids wearing the patches. And then I was like, damn, man. I was like, that's special, you know, and I'm proud and I'm honored, you know, that people would, you know, be willing to take this journey with me. You know, I don't take it for granted. Mm-hmm. I really don't. I really don't take it for granted to see all these guys all over the country now. You know, it's crazy to me. It's absolutely crazy to me that people believe in what we have to offer, you know, and they want to be with us. It's cool. It's a good feeling. Yeah.
Anything you want to say to finish?
No, just, you know, thanks for having me back. All right. And we get to do it face to face, not over a computer. Uh-huh. So, you know, this is really fun. Obviously, thanks to my wife, Dina, who's also a black belt on the team, who's an absolute badass. She's my rock. You know what I mean? Without her, I couldn't do any of this. My kids, all right, my family, sponsors, right, who have been with Show Your Roll forever.
Forever.
You know, Show Your Roll has always been taking care of me, like literally forever. You know, there might have been a time in maybe 2013 or 2012, I went and tried another gi company and I wasn't into it. And Bear just took me right back. It's like, come on, bro. He's like, we knew you'd come back. So Show Your Roll, Folk Eye out in Guam, Pitchfork. They always hook me up with clothes for years and years and years from the hardcore music scene. Like, you know, I like hardcore music and hip hop music and, you know, everything like that. Like Pitchfork hooked me up. I recently just got back together with Monkey Tape again. Actually, we kind of went our own ways for a little bit, and then all it took was a conversation. Like we said, Julio reached out to me. I recently just relinked with him. You know, he sent me some stuff recently, so thank you to him. Who else am I missing? What else is there? I don't know, man. Show Your Roll, Folk Eye, Pitchfork, Monkey Tape, Duke Barber Company. Will always cuts my hair. And Tag Team, man. The whole team, the whole family. You know, we got a massive team. Dude, it's amazing. Yeah, so I'm stoked. So shout out to the whole entire team, the whole family. If I could shout you all out by name, I would. You know what I mean? But there's a lot of you guys. But, you know, you guys are always representing, making me proud, handling yourself professionally, you know. That's all I can ask for. Proud.
Thank you, man. Thank you for being on the show.
Thank you.
And that is the episode. Just want to thank you guys for checking this one out. Thank you again to Jared for being on the show encouraging us to get that first, do those first match breakdowns on the podcast. I really enjoyed doing that on a live episode of the show. I think that's something we will bring back. There are even people that I've competed against that have suggested that we could do some episodes where we break down our own competition footage. And so those things would be really, really fun. And I'm just so excited for the future because of that. But that being said, I know that I'm going to have some questions about the iSucker Jiu-Jitsu Show Pro and what that actually is. So I just thought I would tell you guys next week about it. And so if you wanted to know more about the iSucker Jiu-Jitsu Show Pro and know more about how to get the Trinity of Guard Passing, you can check out next week's episode where we're going to look at every mistake that I have made over the last 16 years of doing jiu-jitsu and how I've tried to fix them. And I think you guys will really like that episode, and you'll also get to hear a little bit more about the iSucker Jiu-Jitsu Show Pro. And so that's all I have for you guys, and I hope that you enjoyed today's episode, and I hope that it helps you guys suck just a little bit less at jiu-jitsu. Have a great day, guys.